KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
I'm going to have fun.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I'm excited to be here. I just was eating down there at that really cool place, Humboldt Suites here in Ferndale.
Oh, you went? Yeah.
Went back there and I was greeted so nicely and they hugged me. And then there's that place next door.
Yeah, the Mind's Eye thing.
Yeah.
The manufactory, they call it.
Yeah, really cool. And then I ran out because I realized I had to be on the air. So I didn't pay them yet. I got to go back and pay them.
Died in ditch.
Nice. They'll believe me.
No, I think they'll trust you.
They know where to find me.
Yes.
But yeah, so I'm here. And I just came back from the High Sierra Music Festival, and I played four shows there. The Vaudeville stage, the Meadow stage, the Troubadour sessions, and then the Big Barn.
Oh, yeah.
Where they have these play shops. It was fun. So I did four shows, and...
What play shop did you do?
The play shop was called The World According to Steve Poltz. The guy who puts on the festival. Do you know him? Anyways, he's really nice.
Yeah, no, I don't know the guy.
Why is my mind blanking on him? He booked me.
Well,
anyways, he wanted me to do The World According to Steve Poltz. I did my own world. So it's really super fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So the High Sierra Fest was great, and I camped in my Volkswagen van. And
now, I have this, and in fact, I've seen this happen, so this is not just a fantasy of mine, but I have this dream that musicians go to High Sierra, and they're performing, and they run into other musicians, and all kinds of sort of impromptu jams happen. People start playing together. Was that your experience, or?
Yeah, I ran into a good friend of mine named David Garza. Do you know him?
Uh-huh.
He's amazing, and we played together on each other's stages. And then another friend of mine who plays in Nikki Bloom and the Gramblers, Tim Bloom from the Mother Hips.
Yeah, yeah.
We jammed together, and then I sang with Nikki Bloom and Dave, a guitarist in her band. I just kept running into people. Really, really super fun. Elephant Revival, they were really good. And there was a band called Deer Tick.
Oh, they're awesome.
Man, they were fantastic. He did a great guitar smashing the night I saw him, and they did the Beastie Boys Fight for Your Right to Party. It was crazy. The crowd went nuts. Like, I'm talking nuts.
Yeah.
It's a great cover, and they covered The Replacements on the bus, which is one of my favorite Replacement songs, too. So, all in all, I had a really good time, and here I am in Arcata. I get to play at the Robert Goodman Winery tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, we brought out the cool weather, knowing how warm it can be in Quincy.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad to get out of my van in this weather. It was a scorcher, mate.
Yeah.
It was a scorcher.
That's always the, you know, the part that tests you at High Sierra. You know, you can easily get triple digits. But
it wasn't that hot up there. It was hotter. Okay. I went down to Chico last night, and I had dinner at the Sierra Nevada Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a nice dinner with some friends. And, man, it was hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's nice up here.
There was just a climate report out that said, you know, this has been like the hottest 6 months ever, but that this particular area where we're in right now is actually unusually cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Cooler than usual.
I'm glad to be here. So, my friend Chris Perez playing tonight. He's opening up the show, and I think another gentleman is too. I can't remember his name, but and then I go on at so the whole thing starts at 8 o'clock, and I think it's going to be good, and then I drive to Portland next. So.
Oh, nice.
I'm working. I got a new CD out, and the name of the CD is, I got the title when I asked a promoter in Australia, when was the first time I went to Australia, and he said, oh, I reckon it was about 1999. So I named the record 1999, and I spell it N-O-I-N-E-E-N-N-O-I-N-Y-N-O-I-N, 1999.
I was wondering if that's what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when I looked at it and was like, what? When? Oh.
So that's how I got the title, and I'm pretty happy with the CD. It's a double CD. I'll have copies tonight at the winery, and I'm looking forward to playing. I can do a song for you if you want.
I would love that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Yep.
I noticed when I made this record in Australia, in Perth, West Australia, and I noticed when I was there they had a different word for a bunch of things that we have. Like bonnet is hood for a car, torch is a flashlight. But then I knew that a heart was still a heart, so I wrote this song. back aches, my eyes are shot, my body's running a little bit hot. I miss what I can't see. You're far across the ocean from me, and they're driving on the wrong side of the road to me, and I'm afraid to cross the street. So I got some numbers I can dial to hear your voice and make me smile, but they're just wise without a face. My message floats in the outer space, so I stare up at the stars, past the noise of rows of bars, and I'm a talking to myself. It's just the conversations with the moon. There's a bonnet on my car and a torch for when it's dark, but a heart is still a heart. Yours and mine are far apart, so I turn on my TV. They're playing cricket in front of me, and I don't understand a thing. It's still yesterday back home, so I play a show to get some smiles. I travel tens of thousands of miles. Why do I do it every night? Because it just feels so damn right. So I stare up at the stars, past the noise of rows of bars, and I'm talking to myself. It's just a conversations with the moon. Whoa.
Really nice.
Thanks, brother.
That's off this record?
Yeah. Conversations with the Moon.
Okay. All right.
So I made that record in Perth, West Australia. And since I saw you last, I did 32 dates over in Australia. And then I went to Singapore and played too.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What was that like?
Well, she warned me not to say the F word on stage or spit any gum on the ground or I'd get caned. There's no graffiti anywhere, no gum anywhere. But the people were super nice. But you got to kind of watch what you say. If you're used to a more body sense of humor, you got to kind of be a little bit mellower.
Dial it back a little.
A little bit. But it was super hot and humid there year round. But it was neat. It was a great experience. I was glad I went to Singapore. The only drag is when I got to the airport, I wanted to keep going because you see these signs that say, like Ho Chi Minh City. And I wanted to go up to Vietnam so bad and go to Cambodia and Laos. But I had to get back and I came back. I was on Memorial Day. I sang the national anthem at the Giants game.
Did you really?
At AT&T Park. Is that what it's called, their park? Yeah. AT&T Park. Yeah, on Memorial Day. It was crazy. 45,000 people sold out, and I got to sing the national anthem. And so I do it in the key of A, and I'm like this. I go. So So you got to start it kind of low, right? So I was like, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? So I get there and I do it at sound check, and there's a guy from the Air Force there, and he says to me, now listen, I got to time you on this because we're going to have these planes fly over when you say, for the land of the free and the home of the brave, these planes are going to come by, like Air Force jets. You know how they do like a flyover?
Yeah.
So he says, do it again. So I do it again. And then he says to me, do it again. And the ushers are setting everything up for the Giants game versus the Diamondbacks. Barry Zito's pitching that day. I do it again. He goes, wow, I've never seen anything like this. It was exactly a minute and 22 seconds each time. You're like Rain Man. So then he says to me, listen, I may need you to extend it in case the planes are late. I'm like, what do you mean if the planes are late? You're the Air Force, man.
Phil,
so yeah,
how do you extend the Star Spangled Banner?
That's what I said. And then the woman from Comcast goes, yeah, you might have to. So I get to the end of the song. I'm like, for the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I'm like, I can see the Air Force guy motioning me to keep going. So I just, it looks like I'm totally showboating. If you see the video of it, I'm like,
big,
like,
finish.
Really big finish. And they're still not there. No jets. And the girl from Comcast is like, keep it going, keep it going. My heart's beating, man. I'm sweating. I keep it going, keep it going. And I figure I'll do that finger picking part again. So I go, no jets. No jets yet. So finally I was like,
no.
Finally the jets are like, whoosh. It was awesome.
Did you really? Did a little bit of Stairway?
No, but that would have been cool
that
if I did.
Like, well, I just
showboated it out though at the end, and it was pretty funny. Finally,
wow.
And when the planes come by, holy crap, man, that'll scare you.
Yeah.
If you were just some peaceful guy walking on the street and those planes came over you, you wouldn't even hear them when they came up, and the next thing you knew, you'd be dead. Like, it scared me when they came over, like all the way from my heels up to my neck. But
So
I sang the song and. Got to hang out with Barry Zito afterwards and sing songs because he plays guitar, and it was super fun.
Have you done that before?
I have, at hockey games and at San Diego Padres games.
Oh, yeah,
I live in San Diego, but I'm originally from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. So I've sang it at hockey games too.
That's got to be amazing. That's going to be a thrill. I mean, that's a silly word, but I can't think of anything else. I mean,
it's something I'll never forget.
Because you're a baseball fan too. You love the game.
I will never forget it. And the crazy thing is Barry Zito does a lot of stuff for wounded warriors and guys that have been wounded overseas. So I met these guys during spring training, one of whom is a Marine, and he got blown up in Afghanistan and lost both his legs and his right arm. And, you know, he was horribly messed up. So I met him at spring training because Zito and Jake Peavy, another pitcher, fly these guys out. And so I got to know this guy, and we started texting each other. His name's Corporal Nick Kimmel, and then I wrote him a song called The Days Are Beautiful, kind of his story about what happened to him. And the Giants somehow heard the song via the internet or something, and they asked me to sing it after I did the anthem. And then they had this kid, this young 21-year-old who got horribly blown up, come out and throw out the first pitch, and he just got his legs put on. Let me tell you, man, everybody was on their feet. There was 45,000 people. There wasn't a dry eye in the place. It was pretty powerful. And I sang the song I wrote for him. I mean, and this is before the game starts, and then the kid gets up and throws out the first pitch with his one good arm. So it so taught me a lot. Like, sometimes I think I got a lot to complain about. And then I started going down to Balboa Naval Hospital and playing for a lot of these wounded guys that are down there getting their legs put on, and it's pretty powerful. And I sing them songs and kind of showing one of the guys a guitar finger picking pattern. And the crazy thing is these guys just start to, they relearn how to walk with these legs put on, these prosthetic, like these steel legs. It's like you're in Blade Runner or something when you go into the amputee ward, and the guys that work there working on the legs, they've lost their legs, and there's like Navy SEALs missing three limbs. And they're coming off the golf course or playing some sport going, taking their leg off in front of you going, I need you to extend this leg a little bit. And so I see their attitude. It's like this whole can-do attitude. It's like, it's really inspiring. So I kind of stumbled into that after I last saw you. Some amazing stuff happened in it.
That is amazing.
It kind of gave me an attitude adjustment too. Cause sometimes, you know, on the road, I'm always traveling. In case you guys are just tuning in, my name's Steve Poltz. And I'm playing tonight at Robert Goodman Winery. And I'm happy to be back here in Arcata. So anyways, it's taught me a few lessons, you know, about you know, not to get too down or complain too much, because there's always bigger fish to fry.
It's a really good lesson to learn. I have a tendency myself to focus on the negative sometimes, and it's a bad thing to do, because whatever you're complaining about, it really isn't that bad usually.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell. I have a couple more questions to ask you, but maybe we could hear a song and then I'll ask it afterwards.
Totally. I would love that. All right. Here's a song that I made up when I was in Croatia traveling around. And this is on the new record. And the name of this song is Croatia. There sets the sun on the Adriatic Sea. My dogs are barking and I got sore knees. I'm about as broke as a champagne glass. I think I'll take a nap on this patch of grass. A bomb is still a bomb in a new country. A cat still scratches if he's got fleas. Boats are coming in and I got loose change. I think I'll buy a fish, grill it on the range. Croatia, I'm gonna miss you like a bottle of wine. I'll put my lips against you. Hold on tight, it's a roller coaster ride. From Dubrovnik to Split, it's gonna be alright. My kunas and wash my hair. This bus ride's shaky, but I don't scare. Kids are playing football and kicking a goal. My head is the post and it takes its toll. I duck into a church to say my prayers. It doesn't matter what religion, they're all unfair. The water looks just like turquoise foam. Can't stay here and I won't go home. Croatia, I'm gonna miss you like a bottle of wine. I'll put my lips against you. Hold on tight, it's a roller coaster ride. From Dubrovnik to Split, it's gonna be alright. Shade. Don't make a lot of money, but we still get paid. I try to play quiet, but I end up loud. Throw some money in my case, I ain't too proud. The sun's so hot, my sweat drips down. My eyes are red and my skin is brown. I'm like a magician as the waves play tag. I'll change this money to a jug in a bag. Croatia, I'm gonna miss you like a bottle of wine. I'll put my lips against ya. Hold on tight, it's a roller coaster ride. From Dubrovnik to Split, it's gonna be alright. Yeah, from Dubrovnik to Split, it's gonna be alright. Come on, Dubrovnik to Split, it's gonna be alright.
Yeah. That's awesome. Steve Poltz is who you're listening to, and he's going to be at the Robert Goodman Winery in Arcata tonight, 9th and I. So, starts at 8 o'clock, the show. Chris Pereira is going to play, and couple other folks. I want to thank North Coast Horticulture Supply for sponsoring live music here on KHUM.
And they're awesome, huh?
They are awesome.
North Coast Horticultural Supply?
Horticultural Supply.
That'd be hard to make a song up about.
It's hard to say.
No. North Coast Horticultural Supply. They make me so happy, put a tear in my eye. North Coast Horticulture Supply. They make me so happy, I'll stay with them till I die. Maybe you need seeds, maybe you need stems, maybe your apron needs a new hem. Maybe you need flowers, maybe you need plants, maybe you just want to go inside and have a little dance. North Coast Horticultural Supply. North Coast Horticultural Supply. I'll stay with you, put a tear in my eye. That's a hard one. I'm looking at that ALO poster up here, and they played, obviously, at the High Sierra Music Fest.
Uh-huh.
I remember the guy who booked me now, Dave Margolis. He's an amazing guy. Anyways, ALO played, and they did a workshop. And they always do an album each year, and they came out on stage, and it was a surprise. Nobody knew what record they were going to do, and they acted like they were in a hot tub time machine, and then they held up the record, and they go... And you could see the spotlight shine on it, and they started going, this is a record we've always wanted to do. And all of a sudden, the organ kicks in, and you heard, doom, 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 doo, 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 doom.
No way.
And they did the whole record, Steve Miller, Fly Like an Eagle.
Oh.
Oh, man.
That had to
gonna
be.
Fly like an eagle.
That was at the late
so
night?
So good. Yeah, late at 2. They didn't even go on until 2:30 in the morning, I think. And they did Fly Like an Eagle, and everybody's dressed up like animals and all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, because everybody gets in a costume right there the whole weekend. And when they did Wild Mountain Honey off of that record, I went nuts because that song, when I was in high school, was like, come on, children, now,
yeah,
look what's been done. You know? Remember yeah how cool that song was?
Yeah, when you told me that, the first thing I thought was, well, I got to buy that. I'm sure it's recorded and you can get it.
It's got to be.
That particular song is what I want to hear. I mean, that record was so meaningful to me.
Me too.
I was junior high, you know, and it was just sort of like just starting to hang out with girls, and you know, we would go to these parties, and we didn't drink or anything. We didn't know what to do, so you just play kissing games and listen to music. And that record was as much a part of that situation as the girls were, really, in some way. And man, I would love to see ALO do that.
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, it was amazing, man. The whole weekend was amazing. It was really cool. Railroad Earth, they played great. Have you seen them before?
Oh, sure. Yeah,
I'd never seen them before, so it was totally cool.
Yeah.
Ben Harper. It was a great festival. I'm already invited back for next year as a musical performer, so
I'll
start planning my year around that.
Well, I'm going to start planning mine, too.
Awesome.
That's great. We're talking to Steve Poltz, who has a new record out, which will be available at the show, 9099.
I like hearing you say it. That's good.
It was close to it. I wanted to... And this is, I mean, well, I've got two things going on in my head, so I'll just do one at a time. But there's a lot of, well, the song you just played is called Croatia. Slovenia Breeze is on here as well. Also, A Dog in Bosnia and a couple others. So these are all songs, obviously, that came out of your travels, I assume.
Yeah, I was in the former Republic of Yugoslavia, just traveling around, and I wrote a song called A Song for Kosovo, A Dog in Bosnia, Slovenia Breeze in Croatia. And so that, yeah, it was an inspiring place to be. For some reason, songs just started pouring out of me when I was over there, as they do when I travel a lot.
I mean, I would think. I've talked to a lot of songwriters about this, and people have mixed reactions to it. But it seems to me, you know, you could write, I mean, you just wrote an awesome song sitting here. So I'm sure sitting in your apartment in San Diego, you can write great songs, but when you're out and you're seeing all these things, I mean, that's got to be a lot of material.
Yeah, sometimes you don't even know it, but you're walking on the street and you hear some riff. Like, I was in Istanbul last year, so I was in Turkey. I went to this soccer match, and when you're in Istanbul, the city Istanbul, it's the only city that half is in Asia, half of the city's in Asia, and the other half is in Europe, and it's divided by the Bosphorus River. And I was in Istanbul, and I was hearing all these crazy riffs, and I started writing songs later that I was just getting influenced by walking down through streets, windy streets and stalls, and I would hear things coming out, and I wouldn't even know how it would manifest itself later as a writer and maybe some of the stuff I saw. You know, I know that I got a 15% discount on a carpet because I sang a U2 song to a guy, and that everybody knows where the streets have no names, so I owe Bono 15%.
Yeah, well, you better lay low, because he'll come after you.
He will.
Speaking of royalties, this is one thing I wanted to ask you. And I don't know whether this. We have this discussion a lot here at the radio station, and I have it with a lot of artists about the sort of the general economics of the music business now, as opposed to the way it was. Used to, musicians would make money selling records, some of them anyway, and now even it's harder to do, and people lose a lot of money because music is so freely available. And I take a position of encouraging that. Not that I think that people should steal, but you would have more money in your pocket if everybody who has a Steve Holt song on their hard drive had paid for it. But I guess I just kind of want to know what your general do you think about this, and what do you think about it?
Well, I try not to think about that kind of stuff because I always have another show to play, and I don't like to wallow and let my mind go into negative places. But my thoughts on it are, now that you've asked, there's good and bad, obviously, but it's like the good is this. There used to be a velvet rope mentality, and only so many people could get in and make a record. And if a record label deemed you worthy, they would sign you, and then you'd put out a record. And then they would promote it and do all the antiquated channels, the way things used to be done, especially via, hardcore top 40 radio. If you were lucky enough to get played and they banged your song 40 times a week, they had big publicity channels. And then with the advent of the internet and Napster, we saw our music industry devastated, leveled, like the likes of which hasn't been seen. It was a complete revolution. And then everybody was able to get little home studios and digitally start doing stuff. And so the big studios like the Ocean Ways down in Los Angeles and stuff, they weren't as necessary. And so the velvet rope mentality of having to get signed by Danny Goldberg at Atlantic Records didn't need to happen anymore. Years ago, you saw that first start happening with Ani DeFranco when she put out her music on her own Righteous Babe label. But now everybody puts out their own music. So what you have is you have a glut of musicians, and some are good, some are bad. But the key is to be exceptional at what you do and try to get noticed. And that being said, you don't really have a problem if people are illegally downloading your music. You have a problem if they're not. You don't have a problem if a million people are illegally downloading your music. You have a problem if a million people aren't, because if a million people are illegally downloading your music, they're talking about you and they're showing up at shows, and you can't download a t-shirt. They're buying t-shirts. And I usually record my live shows and sell them that night. I'm on a little hiatus from that for the rest of this year, but I'll pick it up again next year. And but there's all kinds of merch to be sold and butts to put in seats, and you want people to have your music, through any avenue they can get it, and via Spotify. And we're all going to a cloud-based service anyways, with our handheld devices. I think the laptop's on its way out. The new MacBook Pros don't even have CD drives in them anymore. I'm good friends with Steve Wozniak, who started Apple. He flew to see me in London 3 weeks ago. I played in London and I was in Wales, and he was there, and I was asking him about it too, and he was just saying everything's going the way of the handheld device, and everything's cloud-based, and you'll have all the music, you'll pay a subscription service, and then I think musicians might get paid, who knows, I don't know. I know the royalty rates are really low right now on all that, but it's fun time still to be a musician, because you get to make your own art, you get to create art and go out and peddle it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and I think from the perspective of just a music fan, there's an ethical dilemma. I think that it's good as someone who really appreciates music that I have such ready access to it. I mean, I pay for Spotify and I pay for Rhapsody and things like that, and I have access to so much more music now than in the old days, when if you wanted it, you had to go buy a CD or a record album. Totally.
Well, people don't want to illegally download stuff. I really posit this theory. It's a hassle. You got to worry about viruses. They want to, if iTunes proved that by making it easy. iTunes made it really easy to download stuff. However, that came with a cost. Now with subscription-based services, it's really super easy for me to be on my iPhone, today driving up and being in Chico and going, oh, I want to listen to Leon Redbone, from 1976. I want to hear this one record. And I can do that right away and have it. And I'm paying, $10 a month.
But if everybody was, and they make it so easy that I really think people don't want to have to download illegally a whole bunch of stuff. If they had a subscription-based service and it was like a low price, it's the same as people who pay for cable. Yeah, some people steal it, but most people, it's like, oh, it's my cable bill. It's what they pay. And not everybody does that, and that's fine too, you know? So I think that in the future, it's just we're in the middle of a huge transition of being a musician, and I see a lot of younger bands out there, and I'm always talking to them, and I love bands that are like, 19, 20 year olds that are out there just starting. I get excited when I see them, and they have the fire in their eyes and the passion, and they can put out their own records, and they couldn't have done that years ago.
Yeah, I think that's a huge difference. Now people will argue, and I'll shut up in a second. We'll play another song if you have the time. But people will argue, well, that leads to, you know, a lower quality of music, and maybe that's true in some ways. Maybe there are things that are available now that wouldn't have been put out in the days of the big record labels. Sure, but you know, people can get better, and there is also a lot of stuff that I play and listen to and really enjoy that I would never have if people didn't have the ability to buy a fairly cheap, you know, multi-track recorder and go in their bedroom and make up songs and put them out. By the same time, musicians don't get paid. People will play music no matter what. I mean, there's a lot of bands here, and nobody is making money in Humboldt County playing music. You know, but they play because they love it. And you know, it would be nice to be able to support them more. I know a lot of musicians whose one and only goal is quit my day job.
Well, sometimes I see musicians and all they do are complaining that nobody's coming out to a show at all, and there's nobody there, and sometimes I just think, well, maybe you're not that good. And maybe you just need to practice more, because I think a lot of times people surround themselves with their friends, and their friends all tell them they're good. Mm. But when you go out on the road and you start working, if nobody's going to keep coming to your shows, then maybe you're not that good, and you need to go back and reassess where you're at and become exceptional. Become really good at what you do, because I really do think cream rises to the top, and people will find you via word of mouth. Like for me, man, I don't listen to what a critic says. I listen to what my friends tell me to listen to. So I got a lot of good friends, and they'll say, oh my God, you got to check out this record by Deer Tick. You're going to love this song. I'm way more apt to listen to it than if I read what some guy in Paste writes. I don't care what he writes. I really don't.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times I think it's just some bloviating idiot. But if a friend of mine comes up and tells me, oh, this movie's great, or this is great, I think we're in an area now and an era where, you know, the job of the publicist is almost becoming not obsolete, but less needed, because if you have a ton of Twitter followers and a ton of Instagram followers and Facebook followers, you're able to get the word out and work harder at it.
Yep.
And so maybe if nobody, I know people are going to show up if you're excellent. So I guess the motto of this is
be
as excellent as you can be and work really hard at your craft. Work on your guitar, drums, bass, keyboards, whatever you're doing, you know, if you're a DJ. And, you know, another thing too is electronica's gotten so big. So,
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole nother market.
We're talking to Steve Poltz, who's going to be at Robert Goodman Wines in Arcata later on today. 8 o'clock the show starts. And I think it's $10 or something like that. Not enough. You can pay more. Buy a CD. Buy a t-shirt.
Yeah.
But
you can pay $11 if you want.
You want to go to the show. I know a lot of people who went to see you at the Arcata Theater. No, Arcata Playhouse. And were not as familiar with your music, but went to the show anyway and called me up the next day going, oh my God, it was insane. So don't you miss this opportunity
tonight. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it was extremely positive. Can I beg one more song off you?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to do a song. Speaking of excellent, I think this is a most excellent song, and it was written by Pete Seeger. And back in the 60s, there was a television show called the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. And the Smothers Brothers ratings got so high that CBS told them they could have any guest they wanted. Any guest. And they said, we want Pete Seeger. CBS got scared because the United States was mired in the Vietnam War. Seeger came on and he had written a song called Waist Deep in the Big Muddy. The president at the time was LBJ. LBJ had an epithet he used for people that would question the war and didn't like it. He called them nervous Nellies. So in the song Waist Deep in the Big Muddy, Pete Seeger uses the term Nervous Nelly. CBS got scared and they cut it out of the program and they let him do a different, they had a different song he did earlier that was like a more children type friendly song. And the Smothers Brothers pitched a fit and they demanded they play it. And it took about 7 months and CBS played Waist Deep in the Big Muddy, the live performance of Seeger. And you can see this on YouTube. And he calls it a water cooler moment because back then there were like only three major networks. And when a big event happened, kind of like the time Elvis Costello played radio on Saturday Night Live. I mean, stuff people were able to talk about. Now there's so many channels, it's harder. And so he played Waist Deep in the Big Muddy and he says that's what he likes to think turned the tide on the Vietnam War. And if you hear him interviewed, and so since I think he's like 96 years old, you know, this year, and he's still alive and still singing songs. So I wanted to learn this Pete Seeger song, Waist Deep in the Big Muddy. And it's about questioning authority.
It was back in 1942. I was a member of a good platoon. We were on maneuvers in Louisiana one night by the light of the moon. The captain told us to ford a river, that's how it all begun. We were knee-deep in the big muddy, and the big fool said to push on. The sergeant said, "Sir, are you sure this is the best way back to the base?" "Sergeant, go on, I'll ford of this river about a mile above this place. It'll be a little soggy, but just keep slogging. We'll soon be on dry ground." We were waist deep in the big muddy, and the big fool says to push on. Sergeant said, "Sir, with all this equipment, no man will be able to swim. Sergeant, don't be a nervous Nelly," the captain said to him. "All we need is a little determination. Men, follow me, I'll lead on." We were neck deep in the big muddy, and the big fool said to push on. All at once the moon clouded over, we heard a gurgling cry. A few seconds later the captain's helmet was all that floated by. The sergeant said, "Turn around, men, I'm in charge from now on." And we just made it out of the big muddy when the big fool said to push on. We stripped and dived and found his body stuck in the old quicksand. I guess he didn't know that the water was deeper than the place he'd once before been. Another stream had joined the big mud about a half a mile from where we'd gone. And we were lucky to escape from the big muddy when the big fool said to push on. I ain't gonna point any morals, I'll leave that for yourself. Maybe you're still walking, you're still talking, you'd like to keep your health. But every time I read the paper, them old feelings come on. We're waist deep in the big muddy, and the big fool says to push on. We're waist deep in the big muddy, and the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, and the big fool says to push on. Waist deep, neck deep, soon even a tall man will be over his head aware. Waist deep in the big muddy, and the big fool says to push on.
That is an awesome song.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is I was just in Minneapolis playing a show a couple weeks ago, and I went to visit Slim Dunlap, who was in The Replacements. And The Replacements were one of my favorite bands ever. I love The Replacements. And they were heavily influenced by Big Star. And Slim Dunlap had a stroke, and he's really not well right now. And I sang him that song by his hospital bed. I made a pilgrimage to see him in the hospital, and he had a big Pete Seeger poster, The Power of Song, above his bed, and I sang that to him, and he started crying. It was pretty intense, and yeah, it was really cool to, I hope he gets better, Slim Dunlap, he was in The Replacements, you know? Wow. So, but it was powerful, and the song's really powerful, too. So.
Yeah, it sure is, even after all these years.
Still applicable.
Yes.
So I'm excited I get to play tonight at Robert Goodman Winery at 8 o'clock tonight. Steve Pultz. You can find more about me at Pultz.com, P-O-L-T-Z.com. Find me on Instagram or Twitter. Send me a message.
Check out the website and the photos from High Sierra.
So oh, yeah. I just put up a bunch of photos from High Sierra on my blog at Pultz.com, P-O-L-T-Z. And it was so much fun coming in to talk to you. I love your station.
It's awesome.
I was so excited when they asked me to come in again because I remember last time we had fun. So thank you for having me back.
It's truly my pleasure. I'm really glad you came back. And everybody go see them at Robert Goodman Wine this evening. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break and be right back. You got it on K-Hump.
This has been a KHUM production. For more information, check out khum.com or search K-Hump in iTunes.